Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Business Radio X CEO, Karen Nowicki, and we have a full house today, and I'm on live on someone's camera. So much fun. All right. So I am very much looking forward to this segment. We've been talking about it for a little while now, and here we are to share and spotlight some incredible professionals and business owners in our community. Let's start with Jason Malcolm. He's a senior vice president of, I'm going to say Cressa. I should have asked you ahead of time. I got it right.
Yeah, you nailed it.
All right. Very good. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Looking forward to hearing your story. And Leah Hart, general manager with Musicology.
Hello.
And I did say it Leah correctly.
You sure
Thank
did.
Goodness for great names, because I did not ask ahead of time, and usually I do. So good. Welcome.
Thank you very
so
much.
So glad you're here. And Josh Lorenzen, owner of, with LED Lighting and Consulting.
Correct.
Good to see you again.
Hi.
And look at you in your old branding attire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how it's done.
Thanks to my wife.
who I'm going to introduce next. Are we allowed to say you're a pair? The last name will give it away. Hopefully she's turned that camera around to show herself. Kelly Lorenzen, CEO with KLM Consulting, and obviously responsible for great branding.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Thanks for having us.
And you're here again.
Again.
Yeah, well, good. I love that. You've been on with us a handful of times.
3 or 4 times.
Yeah. We only like to do that with, you know, the very special people.
That's right.
Special as in we just love you. All right. So let's start by introducing each of your businesses. You know, just tell us who you are, the client base or the customer base and community that you serve, why folks should work with you. I'll help you remember if you forget some of those. And then we'll talk a little bit more deeper about everything that you got going on. Let's start with Cressa first. Jason, tell us a little bit about Cressa.
Yeah. So we're a commercial real estate advisory firm, and commercial real estate's really a broad term. It could mean so many different things: multifamily, industrial, retail, the list goes on and on. But what we do is focus just on the occupiers of space and help them identify, negotiate, and move into their commercial space that they're leasing.
That's different than what we would normally think. What are most other firms' approach?
So it's really a majority of the commercial real estate industry is focused on the landlord side. So it's really a gap for the tenants and having someone that's really looking out for their best interests.
I bet that goes a long way for referrals.
It does.
And people wanting to continue to stay in your sphere and obviously help you succeed, but they know that you're looking out for them.
Yes. Yeah.
How did you get started?
It started at ASU. I was attending it. I was at the W.P. Carey School of Business and hadn't selected a major yet. And the year before I needed to pick something, they started a degree in commercial real estate. And it really piqued my interest. And I hadn't selected one yet, but got some advice from some of the students that were already attending that. It was the inaugural year, first year out. And that next year I hopped in, and it was great. Really interesting way that they approached it. There weren't necessarily exams and tests and things to study. You would get a project. You'd get like a building in downtown Phoenix. And okay, let's pretend that you're a group of investors, and we'd break up into teams. So it'd be a team of 5 or 6. You're a group of investors. This building's for sale. How much should you pay for it? And how would you convert it? What would you do to the building? And you'd have to come up with the numbers on what it's worth, the cost that it would take to convert it to a different use, let's say, the time frames associated with that.
Everything that you really need to know out in the real world.
So it was really applicable and really set you up. And then additionally, you needed to then present in front of the class. And that was a whole aspect too, is getting up in front of an audience, not quite a radio show, but
it prepared you.
Yes, that's right. And it really just set it up well, and I enjoyed it a lot and jumped in. I think it was 2 weeks after graduating, I started my career.
And did you, so you're the Senior Vice President for Cressa.
Mm-hmm.
Did you own your own business from the very beginning, or just kind of morphed your way and worked your way to that?
Yeah, no, never owned my own business. It's always been with a larger organization. Yeah. It started at a company called Moore Partners. And that seems like a lifetime ago, but it was a similar platform where Moore Partners only represented the users, just the tenants. It was a smaller size firm than the one I'm at now. It was, I think, about 17 locations across the country. And Cressa is a global organization. So it's a step up to just more services, bigger platform, able to pursue larger enterprise size companies.
Yeah.
So it's been exciting.
And you've been with Cressa how long?
10 years.
10 years. Wow.
Yeah.
And they're obviously in for the 10 years. Have they been here in Arizona all of those 10 years, or were they here even longer before you came on board?
They were here before I got here, but it's just the Phoenix office. The company started in 1993. And it's interesting how it started, because it was a couple of gentlemen that were working at large organizations, you know, Fortune 500 size companies. And they were the directors of real estate for each of these companies, one in Boston and one in Los Angeles. And they weren't getting the services that they would expect, because a majority of the companies that are in my arena are focused on the landlord.
Right.
And they just weren't getting the services that they want. There's conflicts of interest that can arise where, you know, if you're in a city that you're just going to do one transaction, let's say, you need to find a broker in that city that is knowledgeable and can help you find space. But that broker may start steering you towards his listings, mm-hmm. because he has a portfolio of listings that he's trying to get leased up. So that creates an issue with a conflict of interest. Especially if you're just going to come in every 5 years and do one deal, and then you're never going to do another deal again there. So loyalty just isn't there.
Right. Well, they had allegiance to, again, the landlords,
to the landlord.
And that didn't benefit. So it's like that saying, if you have a book you want to read and you can't find it, you need to go and write that book. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was in 93, just those two offices. And now it's grown to 60 offices here domestically.
Wow.
And another 15 or so offices globally.
And the thing that you love best about working with Cressa and working for Cressa, what's it?
You know, the amount of services that we can provide to users. Because what you would typically expect is a real estate broker in my industry, my field, what you would expect is they're going to find you a building, negotiate the terms, and hey, good luck, my job is done here. What we're able to do is spread those services across a lot of other needs that the user is going to have. For instance, how does the space get built out, and who's overseeing their interests with the architects, with the contractors, with all the vendors that will come along, like signage and security and furniture. And we have I think there's 100 of these guys across the U.S. are project managers that can come in and oversee that process, where you don't want me doing that. I don't know those relationships and can't, I can't hammer a nail, never mind insert new LED lighting. So,
but you know the people who do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you're not only a champion for the tenant, but you're also a great connector.
Mm-hmm.
And Cressa has a lot of the services already built into what you're doing, but you've also built relationships with other companies and organizations who can fill that void where it wouldn't make sense for Cressa to do
that's
LED lighting. Yeah,
exactly.
Exciting.
Yes.
What can you tell us about the market right now, the Phoenix commercial real estate market right now?
It's healthy.
Yeah.
Hooray. It's really strong. It's it is a landlord's market, unfortunately. So
unfortunately for you though.
For the users, for the tenants that are paying rent. because the rates have they're at all time high. They're projected to continue to do so. So a lot of people I've noticed recently where if they've been in a 7 or 10 year lease and their scheduled rent that's been maybe increasing over that 10 year period, now they need to renew and they're saying, whoa, how come rates are 30% higher than what I'm currently paying? Because they've just skyrocketed that much over the last, say, I'd say 5 years.
So Kelly and I, when she suggested that you be on the segment with us for a variety of reasons, I had shared with her that my husband owns an auto shop in Chandler, mm-hmm. and his lease is up this very soon. I'll just say that.
Yes.
And he's in panic mode because even in the 3 years that he's been in this location, the landscape has changed. The rates have gone through the roof.
Yeah.
And he's a new business owner. So he's not ready to, I mean, he still needs the same size shop with three of the lifts. Mm-hmm. But now he's looking at paying even more than he's paying now because he has to move. It's tough.
It is.
And he's right at that point where he's starting to see and feel that success, not only, you know, the pride in owning a business, but also the income and the expense and the clientele. So there's so many different factors. So it's really great to hear that you guys are there for the tenant.
It's exciting. It's good. It's not always been that way. And it's nice to be able to offer this.
We talked a little bit about the rates going up. Can you tell us a little bit how rates vary?
So it's going to vary depending on the property type. Is it retail? Mm-hmm. Is it industrial? Is it office? So that's going to vary significantly just for those aspects alone. It's also going to vary depending on what market you're in. Are we talking about an industrial building in Tempe or an industrial building in the West Valley? So that's going to vary too. And then another variance is the type of rate and being, you know, is it a full service gross rent where all of those expenses are included in the rent that you're paying? Or is it just base rent, but then the tenant has to pay for common area maintenance expenses and utilities? And so they can vary that way too. And that can get a little confusing as far as, you know, they say it's $15 a square foot. Okay, well, what does that $15 a square foot per square foot include?
Yeah.
And what's missing from that number?
Yeah.
And that could be a mistake that if someone doesn't have an advocate helping them maneuver through this process, there could be surprises that you didn't expect down the road.
Feels like insurance a little bit, right? Yeah. When you're talking to a provider of insurance and they're giving you kind of the landscape of what they offer, and then you talk to somebody else and they're speaking a whole different language, we need someone who can help us navigate that conversation so that it makes sense to us and we make the right decisions.
That's it.
And that's Cressa. That's you guys.
That's what we're there for.
Yeah.
And one thing that would tie into what he's speaking about is on a landlord side or a tenant side, what I like to do is catch a tenant just moving in, because if they're responsible for paying their electricity and I can catch them at the beginning of their lease and get them a good ROI, let's say 2 years on converting the lights, then they have 5 years left on that normal 7 year lease that's pretty common to save that money and reduce their overhead. And then on the landlord side, if I reduce their cost that they're paying for that's consumed in the lease, then they're able to reduce it and be able to offer less.
A more competitive rate.
Yes,
correct.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a cost, obviously, initially in shifting.
Yes.
But the long-term gain, and they begin to experience it immediately after the job is done.
Yes, correct. Right when you convert those lights, it's saving energy right when they're on.
Yeah, well, great segue. Yeah. Josh handled his own segue. Did you like how he did that? I do. I'm winking at him and smiling. I'm like, well done. I'm just going to sit back and turn off my mic. I love it. So let's talk about who you are and why this business for you. Because I know you do a couple other things too.
Yes. So I have a long 25-year background in electrical. I started in high school. Everything to do with electrical. I took a little break in 2011 and got on the fire department, decided to pursue a passion that I was thinking about, and got on the fire department and loved my career there.
Still fighting fire. Still there. Yep.
Yeah, I'm currently an engineer.
He saves lives every day. Yeah. Wow.
I just got promoted to engineer, so I'm driving the fire trucks.
Yay, congratulations.
Yeah. So that is my passion. I love the job. It was the best thing I ever did. And then I circled back to electrical and had been doing commercial. And this year, just focused on the LED lighting aspect.
Yeah, so there was a need. Tell us about that shift. Why is LED so important?
So I saw it coming. The LED lighting has gotten to be so affordable, and it's changing the environment with saving energy, and it's getting to where it's the costs have come down so much that it just really makes sense. And I think I just read an article. There's by 2020, it's going to be almost a $75 billion industry.
Wow.
So I kind of saw it coming and I wanted to get in on the forefront and be a part of it because everything's converting.
So why not be the one to help them convert?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know you do that ethically and morally and really much like we were talking earlier about Cressa with those people in mind.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's great to be on the wave of something that we know is up and coming, but also to do it because you care for people deeply.
Yes.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah. That's the most rewarding part of Lectual is the lights, you know, because once you turn on the lights, then people can put their visions or their spaces or their work areas into, you know, perspective and be able to work. And so it's kind of nice.
Can you back us up a little bit and explain what LED lighting is?
So LED stands for lighting emitting diode. The difference is so LEDs, the first LEDs were discovered in like 1960. And what you'll probably think of is a lot of your receivers or little toys, they had that little red light.
Yeah.
That's what they first started with. And it was very low lumen. And then as it grew into the 70s and 80s, they came up with the first usage for it to actually put different colors, because at first it was only red. So then they started realizing they could do different colors and they could start running multiple of those diodes in series to create more and more light, and then started using it outdoors with parking lots and outdoor usage. Street lights was a main one. And then it's just kind of grew from there into, you know, everyday uses for commercial applications and lighting spaces and everywhere.
So how does that compare to fluorescent?
So fluorescent, the LED is like a little chip, and it converts electricity into a light ray, and it basically shines down. So that's why you get more light, more lumens. So the average lumen per watt of a LED is around 100 to 130, and it's only 60 with fluorescent. And fluorescent needs reflectors to reflect the light, because it doesn't just shine down. It kind of shines in the general area. And then fluorescent is a gas, so it requires a ballast to not to get into really technical, but
fascinating. Yeah, yeah, get into it a little bit.
It's a gas, and so a fluorescent lamp needs a ballast to regulate the voltage, because it has to have a set voltage. It can't have it up and down. And so those ballasts create a lot of heat. And so along with that, you get a lot of energy loss with air conditioning bills, and these ballasts really heat up. And then along with the fluorescent lamps, there's a gas in there. So it's not like you can just throw it away, which a lot of people do. You're actually supposed to dispose of it properly, which we do.
Will you guys help with that too? But we don't as a...
Because nobody really knows that it's not good for the environment. People just toss in the garbage, and it actually is a gas, and it's hurting the environment. So we have a company that we use out west, and we actually pay for that service. And I think that's where some people might cut corners, because it's a cost. You have to pay for it.
Well, if nobody knows.
Exactly. We're just or not don't know. Do it. Yeah. And so we pay for that service to dispose of it properly. And then the ballasts that regulate that voltage, those have bad chemicals in them. So those are not good. And not all of them you can just toss in the garbage.
And LED is sustainable and it's earth friendly.
Yes,
and
you can just throw it away. It's just a little chip. There's nothing harmful that is going to harm the environment, or, you know, any sort of gas or chemicals. So it's environment friendly, which is nice.
Yeah. So such an education, I would have no idea which buildings and which offices have LED lighting or not. Yeah. Is there a way that the untrained eye could see? I mean, is it that?
You can see out outdoors, exterior on buildings. You can see through the glass. You can see those little diodes. That's the giveaway. You can see the little diodes.
Okay.
Versus just a lamp or a, you know, or a fluorescent kind of glow or tube. They're getting really good at disguising them, but you can really tell by the little diodes because you
who's trying to disguise them?
The manufacturers.
Yeah, for fluorescent.
Yeah, so the LED manufacturers are making them streamlined so they look very similar.
Very good. That's what I'm listening for.
And have like frosted glass so it doesn't look, you don't see those little diodes and it just kind of blends in.
That's smart. So again, there's the need. And so they're shifting and adjusting so they can continue to obviously be in the best light.
Correct.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So when you go to... First of all, are most of the customers coming to you and they're saying, hey, you did this job for so-and-so and we need to do the same? Or you have to scrap and kind of help educate people? Is it a little bit combination of both?
Yes, a little bit of everything. Because with my background, I have people coming to me to do electrical jobs.
Already,
so
yeah.
In that, if I come into this building or I get this project to wire this building, there's lights that go in this building, so it kind of comes with the territory.
So you get to educate and say, listen, if we're going to do this, we ought to be doing it this way already. Okay, good.
And most plans are actually all specified with LED lights more commonly now.
Good.
So everybody's specifying them right at the start.
Is there any regulation for that from cities or states that they, if there is a major retrofit of a space, that they have to change them to LED, or is that not the case?
So I don't think that there's any regulation. I'm not 100% sure, but what's happening is SRP, APS used to, but now it's just SRP, they're offering incentives to change your lights. So what they're doing is saying, hey, if you change your lights, we'll give you a rebate back based on how much you save in energy.
And that's to the building owner?
That's to the building owner, correct. Or the representative, the property manager.
And we're a little behind because in Europe, they are regulating. Everything has to be LED.
Yes.
It's a mandated thing that it's a requirement. We were just in Poland and every place we went, I mean, even the museums where you think it's like old is all LED, right? And so I started researching it, you know, to do his marketing, of course. But and it's regulated in Europe. But of course, not yet.
Are we going that way? Or do you see that we're headed that way?
I think
legislation wise.
Because what's happening is they're stopping making some of the replacement older lamps, fluorescent or incandescent. They're stopping certain styles. So then they're not even available. Whatever's left that happens to be at, you know, somebody's store that they have a box of them, but
that'll run out eventually.
Yeah,
they're going to run out and they're not making them. So there is regulations where they're not producing certain lamps, but I don't know that there's like an actual kind of like Europe where they're like banning certain bulbs.
Yeah. Well, you'd assume that the manufacturers of the older type lights would see the writing on the wall.
Yes, they have.
We should probably shift.
Everybody does though.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I used to do all the lighting for musicology. I would change out all the fluorescent bulbs. I had no idea that you had to dispose of them appropriately.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just kind of naive in that way. Yeah. And we were changing them so, so frequently that it started to become such a burden that when you came into our lives, it was like, everything just started clicking into place. And it was now the lights in there, the lighting is different. The mood is different. It's brighter. Our electric bill is so much less. Like it's a huge difference. And then now we're not spending a monthly bill on buying replacement fluorescent bulbs because we went through them so frequently. And not to mention the flicker of fluorescent drive me bananas.
And that's not good for us either.
No,
I think emotionally and
physically, it's depressing.
Right? Yeah. But not psychologically, but there's physically something that happens for us.
Yeah, we see that a lot with the retention of employees for the clients that we represent and how you maintain this workforce are little subtle things just like that the effect that those lights can have on your eyes and your productivity. And it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
The cool thing is the stories that we hear after the fact are so cool. Like that.
Yeah,
like
that's what,
you feel better. The mood's better. I mean, oh my gosh, we had an industrial. He did an industrial warehouse. Oh my gosh, all the employees are like, oh, I can see what I'm doing. You know, you're like, oh great. Where you couldn't see what you were doing before in your industrial warehouse.
As you're driving four trucks around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's amazing the difference.
That's what excites me. I love hearing that because you go in and, you know, it's a service base, but there's reward to that when you save a business money that's, you know, trying to cut overhead and they've, you know, reached a peak where it's like, what else do we do? Then just like that where, you know, these guys are working on machines and parts and to be able to clearly see what they're doing, it just like boosted the morale.
Yeah, that's ought to be why we do it to begin with, but we don't do it that way. Oftentimes we're motivated by, okay, I can save money. I don't have to buy bulbs as frequently.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it for that reason. So what a great, I know you're a great educator, so you're helping people see that difference.
Yes.
And when we started talking about the flickering lights, it brought me back to my teaching days. Mm. And I remember just the intensity of that. And it's just this low hum in the background of what you're doing. But I know it impacted me as an educator and my ability for my kiddos to learn.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
Do you know where our school districts are? Because when we talk about museums, Kelly talked about, you know, Poland and a museum that's been there forever. Some of our schools and our buildings have been here forever. Do you know how our government buildings are on this bandwagon for converting?
You know, a lot of the private charter schools get money, and it seems that they're spending a lot of it on expanding the school because they're kind of stuck in it's growing so rapidly, the need and demand and adding students. So I think that a lot of the money, at least just from what I'm seeing, is going towards expanding instead of replacing or renovating or making better, you know. So that's partly a target area that I'm trying to hit to, educate and help express those things about what it does for the individuals and the kids, and because that's
huge.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you're a marketer over here.
Yeah. There's a lot of areas to hit. Just
well, because, and it's an important conversation.
Yeah.
And at some point we all pointed out that eventually the fluorescents are not even going to be available, but that's probably a while down the road.
Yeah, a little bit.
I remember, I mean, even my husband was grabbing bulbs at some point, you know, when he was noticing some of the types of lights were no longer on the shelves.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to switch. I'm going to buy extra bulbs. So certainly businesses are doing that. If that's one person's approach, certainly businesses are doing that and probably have a whole warehouse storage of that. But eventually we're going to have to make the shift.
Correct.
And it's great that you can help us do that cost effectively and with obviously the background and the skill set that you have.
Yeah. And I'm trying to separate myself from the other LED lighting businesses where I can come in and just consult and tell you, hey, here's what you could do to improve your facility and here's the resources and just make it a consulting. Or I can take it a step further is purchase the right products, install them, and do the SRP rebates.
Smart. So a lot of options.
Or any one of those or everything combined.
Yeah. I love that. It gives people an opportunity to feel autonomous in the decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And not everybody can apply for those rebates. You have to go through a process through SRP and become a trade ally. And it's a class. It's some paperwork. You have to be up to speed on everything to be able to apply for those. Not everybody can just do that.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Leah Hart, General Manager for Musicology. Clearly, you guys have now this beautiful new lighting thanks to Josh and his team.
And his son.
Yes.
That's what sold Mary on it is he brought his son to help change out all of our bulbs and was teaching him good work ethic.
Remind
and Mary was like, I love this guy.
He's in middle school now. How old is he?
13.
He's 13. Yeah. So
and he loved
his
it.
First job, be an electrical contractor. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That's huge. So before we went on air, one of the kind of warm up questions I often ask is what's the first job that you had? So someday when your son's on radio and they ask them that question, he'll go, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was working with my dad.
Yep, I was working with my dad, changing up a building to put in the proper lighting. So Leah, tell us about Musicology. And who you guys serve and why you love it so much.
Oh my goodness, where do you start? Musicology is first of all, owned by Mary and Missy, Missy Powers and Mary Goodman. And we are partnered with Dr. Jill Stamm, who works with Arizona Children's Association. So all of our techniques, all of our core curriculum and our lesson plans have been developed by that team and then added to with our current team that we have now. And everything that we have in our lesson plans, everything that we have in our curriculum serves families and how their kids grow and love to learn and love to experience music and play. Everything is play-centered. So, which is the one thing that we found out in schools these days, it's kind of being pulled out. It's more academic focused.
Or not in there at all.
Yeah, or not in there at all. Like recess. Why are you taking away recess? It's so important. And so we're instilling that relationship with play in these parents, more importantly, who can then instill it in their kiddos. And we do all of this learning and all of this, exploration through music, movement, dance, lots of laughter, because let's be honest, toddlers are hilarious. And we serve all of the Maricopa County pretty much. Now we have four locations that we've grown in the last 5 years. So it's been pretty fast because there's such a demand for this type of program. But we serve parents, caregivers, grandparents, entire family units to help these little ones grow to love learning, love reading, love language, love movement, love exploring and being independent little ones. And we're all about wiring that brain for future growth. And it all happens in the first 3 years. It's amazing.
And they don't even know what's happening.
They don't even know. They don't even know. From the age of 1 week old all the way to 3 years old, that's when 95% of the brain grows and develops.
And how do most of your parents find out about you? It's word of mouth or?
Word of mouth. We started word of mouth. And then now it's grown to radio shows. It's grown to radio shows. It's grown through social media, our Instagram, our Facebook account. All of our parents love to share. We've partnered with some really great businesses and partnered with some really great women and people that help spread the words. Like the hospitals.
That's a great
where the magic
connection.
Happens,
yes.
Right?
Right. That's where it all starts.
Yeah, that's where it all
anyway.
Starts. Yeah. And we do grant work throughout the city as well. Through our grant works, we are able to touch on communities that are maybe not quite able to do a full 14-week session. Mm-hmm. So we can get out and about to West Phoenix. We can get out and about to East Mesa. And serve these communities through the hospital systems, through libraries, through Title I schools, and so really great. Try to touch as many, many parents and kiddos as we possibly can.
So four locations, of course, clients and family members can come to you,
yeah.
But you also go then other mm-hmm. places where the need is.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple of recent developments is we got to get into a big classroom with over 80 preschool teachers and do a preschool training to train the teachers that...
So that they can continue
yeah.
to do. Oh my gosh.
Isn't
that the
amazing?
First time y'all have done?
That was the first time I did. I don't know if that's the first time
well,
Mary did.
Well, that's huge,
amazing.
Right? It kind of goes to what Josh was saying around making sure that you teach and you educate
yeah.
so that then... we can all be helping each other.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, keeping it just within musicology, mm-hmm. why not teach the methodology and the joy so that they can bring it into those schools, especially our Title I schools
absolutely.
That need it so much.
And
we know that those parents aren't likely able to afford either time mm-hmm. or financially to participate with their kiddo because they're either a single parent, they're working, or maybe it's grandparents and there are no parents involved.
Right.
So what a beautiful commitment
so
to serve the
wonderful.
Community.
And Mary and Missy's vision is to touch as many kiddos and touch as many lives and really instill the knowledge into the parents and caregivers. So then that continues on through each child that's in that family or even each child that is related to that family or just spread it as much as possible amongst all these kiddos and teachers.
Can we talk scientifically or
yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, academically a little bit about why it's so important that we are in our body and we are listening to music at that age. Can you, are you one to
oh,
speak
yeah.
to that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so lay it on.
You're going to turn out the anatomy nerd in me right now.
Let her loose. We got some time.
Yeah. So music is one of the only activities that lights up the entire brain. the entire brain from the frontal lobe to the occipital lobe. And in an infant that is 0 to 5 months old, the brain is barely developing from the occipital lobe, so in the rear part of the brain, and then it grows slowly to the front of the brain. So the child's brain develops from back to front. And so when you incorporate music and especially important movements like crossing the midline, you're helping baby's brain develop on a full spectrum from right to left, crossing paths, creating nice coordinated neurological function between right brain, left brain, back brain, front brain, primitive brain to higher thinker brain, higher thinking brain.
So, and if we're not having that happen, so let's say a child is deprived of, mm-hmm. and I'm using that word very loosely, but doesn't have the opportunity to be in a musically rich environment. What's happening there? Those parts of the brains are not advancing rapidly enough, or are they not even able to develop?
Well, there's other ways other than just music. Music is just the vehicle, if you will.
A beautiful container for all of it to happen.
Yeah. Language and talk is really, really the basic function that we're trying to get our parents involved in, is just talking to their kiddos. And a kiddo that isn't spoken to, you see a decrease in language ability. You see a decrease in IQ. The amount of words you use in a day increases a kiddo's IQ. And they say there's about a minimum of 10,000 words per day. And I always make a joke with my parents. I say, you're going to get that in 45 minutes with me because I don't stop talking.
You're the perfect person.
Exactly. Yeah, I just never stop talking. So yeah, 10,000 words minimum per day. And it doesn't have to be this different words. So parent doesn't have to come up with all of these different words and come out with a thesaurus for their little one. But little simple things like describing what you're doing or describing what you're going to have for lunch, as opposed to time for lunch, as opposed to let's have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch today and sit down in your chair. I'll cut it up for you. Would you like some milk? You know, asking questions, using inflection, using parentis, all of these things increase the benefits of the language that are being used, which is why music is such a perfect vehicle, because it uses the inflection, it uses rhythm, it uses that steady beat and that beautiful poetic motion and fluidity that helps that brain go, aha, something's happening that's so interesting other than someone just talking at me.
And it's musicology, you are teaching parents and educating them this, not only just the experience and modeling it, but you're telling them, here's why this is so important.
Here's some tools and here's why you need them.
This group of teachers that were blessed with the opportunity to learn the skill set, they had, I'm sure a lot of them already are familiar, right?
Oh,
there's different iterations of this, but what was some of the greatest compliments that you heard from them?
Giving them something to get them away from the iPad and YouTube.
And I think that was the biggest thing. By the way, let's repeat who you guys work with, 0 to 4-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked when I sit down at a restaurant
Look
across at two or three other tables and the parents are having a great conversation.
And kiddos left out.
The kids are left out because, I mean, and I've got two in their 20s. I've got a 12-year-old. I'm not without wanting to hand them a device at times.
Of course.
There are times that we do because it becomes a great babysitter.
Inconvenience,
But if it's always done and the age in which these kids are in front of that screen, we are doing them such a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have chills right now running from my toes up to the top of my head. It makes me very teary.
And there are some very, very new research on the effect that the screen time is having with our little ones. And Dr. Jill DeSam, she cracks me up so much. She's like, put the phone down. They can't connect with it. Like, I have a hard time following Facebook and Instagram, and I'm on it all the time, you know, working for musicology and stuff like that. But a toddler, a 2-year-old, has no idea what they're seeing sometimes. It's just a mesh of colors.
Yeah.
Their brain's not loading, and they become more obsessed with the swipe or the push or the cause and effect of it than they are with the content. So a lot of parents go, oh, well, my kiddo loves X, Y, and Z show on YouTube, or my kiddo loves this. Well, do they? Mm-hmm. Or are they just obsessed with the flashing of the fluorescent, right?
Yeah.
Of the fluorescent balls? Yeah.
Which isn't helping them develop.
They're not making complete connections. If you look at it as scientific, as a neurological connection, the connections are not being completed. They're right. A bunch of misconnections being made because they cannot process at the age of 2 and even 3 years old, cannot process what they're seeing.
We need a scientific study of 0 to 3 in musicology and 0 to 3 bulbs. Only technology and see the difference of how they develop.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It would really, be amazing.
It's frightening. As much benefit as we get out of technology.
Mm-hmm.
For so many reasons. It's something we really have to ethically keep an eye on mm-hmm. and continue to manage.
Especially in the classroom.
Right. Yeah. So my son's in middle school, and a good portion of his curriculum, at least for math, is online. Mm-hmm. All homework is online. And they're teaching with the smart boards and mm-hmm. everything. And again, I love that. And yet, I'm very grateful that the teachers are making sure that they have the tactile pen to paper, pencil to paper, and the let's have a conversation. Kind of like you described about your college experience, right? At WP Carey.
Well, it was at ASU, but the College of Business.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why I pulled I talked to somebody earlier. They were at WP Carey, College of Business for specifically commercial real estate.
Right.
But you talked about, as a college student, mm-hmm. having that rich opportunity to experience and try new things and do the things that you're going to actually need out in the field.
And do I like this?
Right.
And right.
Totally key. When you were mm-hmm. talking about that earlier, I went to NAU and I was going to school as a K-8 educator.
Go Lumberjacks.
Yeah.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I've never done that on air before. Probably shouldn't ever do it again.
I feel so grateful.
Yeah. We witnessed it.
Right, right. Let's make that a snippet, Kelly. I'm grateful for my education at NAU and then later at University of Phoenix getting my master's degree as an organizational development specialist. I had to have that. That's how I learn. Mm-hmm. I had to have those practical experiences, not only to have it make sense to me, but also equally important, do I like this? Mm-hmm. Am I good at this?
Mm-hmm.
So excellent that you pointed that out.
Yeah.
And we're talking about you and I, college years, 21 and older.
Mm-hmm. Imagine
you are talking about our baby.
Yeah, critical time frames.
Yeah, it's the most important time because that's when you're wiring up love for learning. If they don't love to learn, you're going to see that when they get to college. And for sure, you're going to see that even earlier on. And it's not just the language and it's not just the association with putting paper to pen and reading a story, but it's also association with their own body control and movement. There's a huge, huge study right now of first and second graders that can't even stay in their chair, that they're falling out of their chairs because their bodies have not developed proprioceptors and their proper musculature to even stay in their chairs. So there hasn't been enough movement in the early part of their lives because they're stationary looking at a screen or looking at,
it's so insane. Scary.
I think that even ties into the labor workforce.
Yeah.
And that's what triggers me. And I have conversations all the time and I go, there's no labor, no workforce for construction type jobs. And in 10, 15 years, people still have to build things. And I think we're losing that mm-hmm. because everybody's going technology and maybe not even realizing or having the opportunity that they like working with their hands and physical labor. And we're losing that whole wave of young kids coming into like a construction job.
And it's needed. We still need those trades.
It will always be.
Shout out to Evett, right? Who made sure that they're there for us. We need more opportunities like that because not everybody is destined to have a job that is, advanced career and so on. We need our trades.
Yeah.
We do. How did you two connect then? So obviously through musicology, has Josh had an opportunity to do LED lighting in all 4 locations yet or?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Just got the one completed.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get you in the Chandler
already,
Studios.
You've already mentioned, though, that it's making a huge difference.
It's a huge difference. I would associate the flicker with the light with the same twitch in my left side of my eye. but now that that's gone, you can actually focus on, and you try to, in the classroom when we're doing something that's super bright and fun and super involved, right now we're building little birdies nests for our 3-year-olds, out of just random musical instruments and random toys. They're using their imagination to build stuff. Hey, construction, that's perfect.
Yeah.
But there was one spot in the room before that was always a little bit darker. And we'd be like, oh, let's build our birdies' nests over there. But now it's like, woo, we can use the whole classroom.
Yeah. Oh, and it's that's great.
So functional and just so bright and lovely. Yeah.
And how did you connect with the musicology crew?
So a general contractor that I've known since I started, I've been a contractor 16 years.
Les.
Great guy. Yeah. Old school guy.
Very
and
old school.
He's now retired. Yeah, the connection was through him because I've done work for him.
Thank you, Les.
Yes.
For a long time.
Thank you. Yeah. Because we've had, before you, we had the person who owns our commercial real estate bring somebody in and...
A whole different thing.
Nothing happened that was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Jason, how do you know Josh? How did you two get connected?
Through Kelly and my wife.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a... past career with Kelly, and it was residential real estate, and the two of them met and hit it off and crushed it for a decade or so. And Josh and I found ourselves in that inner circle.
So, oh, lucky you.
Becoming best buddies.
Friends, yeah.
And that's easy to do with the Lorenzans, isn't it? It's a very easy thing to do.
Did they schedule you a play date?
We did.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did.
An adult play date.
That was seven kids ago. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They have five. Congrats. We have two.
Do you have five kids?
I do.
Wow. Tell me the age ranges.
13 to 3.
Oh, I know a good spot for your 3-year-old.
Yeah. I'm sure he's already got that on the books.
Thunderbird.
I have a card.
You've got twins in that group.
There
you
is.
Guys have twins too.
No.
Why did I think that?
No, just a 13 and 9-year-old. I don't need to.
Maybe I'm foreseeing something in the future.
No.
So what age are the twins?
They just turned 8 on September 1st.
Yeah, and
second grade.
Yep. Yes.
And this is the first year they're in different classrooms. So
that's a big deal. And that's typically, I'm the former teacher, right? That's typically about when parents are like, okay, or the teachers are nudging them like, they're ready. Mm-hmm. And they're doing okay. They're liking it.
Yeah, they're great. Oh. They were actually pretty excited to be separated from each other.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Great. I love the circle of friendship. You know, I was talking with a gentleman earlier. He'll be a guest soon on the show. And we were talking about how when we were growing up, at least in my age range, business and personal life were very separate, right? There was not this work-life balance. I mean, we had work-life balance because we called work this thing and it stopped at, say, 5 o'clock. And then we had life over here. And the two weren't always intertwined. I've never known that in my life. Like my friends in business are my friends in life. Yeah. And it sounds like much the same for you guys as well. So love it. All right. So Kelly, you know, she's been on 3 times, 3 or 4 times, she said. So I had to make you wait.
I don't mind waiting.
So before I have Kelly talk a little bit about KLM Consulting, she is the CEO for this company. And as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, she's had many other businesses as well. I had the incredible opportunity recently to hire Kelly for a couple of brainstorming sessions for Business Radio X specifically. There's a lot that's packed into this brain and this heart of mine, and it's not always easy to get it out and have it all make sense. And then equally important, actually start acting on it. Like, I have a huge vision for this business. I'm flying solo right now. So Kelly and I had met, I think, through the studio, right? You had suggested that I had a couple guests on. And just getting to know each other, as we've already pointed out, so easy to do with the Lorenzans. You just fall in love with these people. I'm like, okay, so how do I pick your brain? What does that formally look like? And she would have done it for me gratis. I'm like, I need to pay you. And truly, I have been hitting my marks. I have Kelly on my shoulder. And I know she's there for me. So you just offer so much for business development and project management and everything. So I've only talked a little bit about how you've been such a blessing in my life. Let's back up. Let's back the truck up for our listeners who don't know you yet. Tell us about KLM Consulting.
Thank you. So I call myself a business concierge and project management consultant, thanks to Karen's lovely words.
I'm so pleased to hear you say it so fluidly. Say it again.
Business concierge and project manager for small businesses.
I'll send you the bill.
That's right.
No. Okay. So what does that mean? I love the sound of it, but what the
every
heck
time
does
you
that
say
mean?
That, you have to pay royalties.
Royalties.
There you go.
That just cost you $15.
And then apparently I'm going to have to pay you some of that because you have the idea to count.
I'm your broker.
That's right. Okay. So what does that mean?
So I've had lots of businesses in my life.
All that have been successful. I'm going to say it for you.
Thank you. And when I was deciding what I was going to do next, I decided that my favorite part of all my businesses was marketing. So I started this business thinking I'll just do marketing for businesses, for entrepreneurs, because I'm an entrepreneur. They're close to my heart. So I started that way and offered services that I wished I would have had and all these other businesses. So, you know, on a project basis, not a retainer, not something that like, oh my gosh, every month I got to pay $10,000 or $5,000 that these marketing agencies, you know, charge. I just want to be able to offer my services whenever the entrepreneur needs it on a project basis. So that's how I started this business. It quickly grew into a lot more than that because I've owned so many businesses, I know every aspect of business.
And you do each of them extremely well.
Except for numbers. I don't do numbers. I outsource accounting. No, we have to outsource everything we're not good at. I tell everybody, do what you do best and outsource everything else. So I'm the outsource, you know, help for people, entrepreneurs who have so much going on. They do everything in their business and they need somebody, whether it is just a brain dump, as I call it, session once or twice a month to all the way to full
accountability partner.
Accountability partner, I do for people, to project management. What are you working on, and what aren't you getting to? What's on your back burner? Give me that. You keep going and doing what you do best. So I say I do a little bit of everything, but people go, "Uh-oh, you know, you're
right." I love the word concierge is a perfect word. And again, I'm just pat myself on the back for that. But here's why. Because we were at a Tempe Chamber meeting and Kelly got to be, kind of in a hot seat intentionally. And she said, listen, you know, I'm shifting and pivoting in my business. And I thought I opened KLM Consulting for this reason. And yes, I'm really great at those things. But I also know that I bring so much more value to everything else that I'm doing. And yet, being able to speak to that and articulate that to the people who might be interested is hard, because sometimes it ends up sounding like virtual assistant or project manager. So yes and yes. And then this whole marketing piece, which you're genius at, is a look across at your husband's branding. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant, mm-hmm. right? So a jack of all trades, but at a very high level. And you're interested in working with high achievers and business owners who really are ready to go to the next level. And so the word concierge would really, in my opinion, would really speak to that. And you don't have to be the doer for everything. You don't necessarily have to be the implementer, although there's an aspect of your business that you will do that for us.
Correct. Yeah. It's either strategy or implementation or both.
Or both. Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. both.
Kind of like what you're talking about with your business as well, Josh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from design all the way through to maintaining. A lot of my business is training. So if they have employees that they want to train on social media and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, Leah. Right? You're like, Leah probably does everything, you know, as the manager, right, of all these places. And you're like, oh my gosh, I need to hire somebody. I have no time to hire anybody. How am I going to do that? So I'll come in, you know, what are you looking for? Okay, let's hire either an intern or, you know, a virtual assistant or this, right? And then I train them, I hire them, I, you know, get them up to speed on what you're looking for. Or one of my clients is a nonprofit organization and they just lost their marketing department, like the marketing department head. Well, they have to keep going. Like they can't go dark.
You can fill that void for them.
So I fill voids of whatever is missing in the organization or whatever is necessary. Business development is huge. It's a necessity. So taking whatever's on that back burner and saying, okay, you just give me that and you keep going.
It's a huge saving grace. Yeah, really. And I've owned a handful of businesses as well, many of which have been very successful. And I've helped other businesses get to that next level. So like you, I've done a lot of different things, also not good at numbers. but when you are the individual who's responsible for everything, like I am right now with Phoenix Business Radio, I can't possibly get to everything. I've got a team. I've got some folks in Philippines help me in Atlanta, but they only focus on certain things. So again, for have you sit down with me for those several sessions? And I know we will have many more sessions because I need to have you there to help me extract it out of my brain, put it into buckets, make some sense out of it. And then the accountability piece that you spoke of earlier is huge. I want somebody who's a champion for me. I want somebody who sees the light and the gifts that I bring. And I know you're that person. And I have not hired people quickly. I've made plenty of mistakes in the past with business coaches or project managers where they've promised certain things and I've paid a lot of money for that guidance and that expertise and have been sometimes 3 months in, 3 weeks in, going, this is not what I needed. And they're so cookie cutter, many of them. So cookie cutter that they couldn't give me what I needed, even though they knew how to sell me on it, because they didn't have the skill set and the bandwidth to do it. And that's not you, because you're really clear up front about how and where you can assist and at what point your clients can do it on their own. So now I've taught you the next layer of this is to let me help you find the employee to take this over.
Correct. Correct. And you can do it, like you're saying, you can do it just from accountability piece. You just need somebody to have I loved this idea last night. We had a great session with a lot of close clients of mine and somebody said, I need a balloon holder. A lot of my clients are creative people, right? So they have thousands of ideas they want to do. And they just chase it and they see the shiny object. No. Come on. Okay. I'll be your balloon holder. What are we working on? Let's stay steady. What's next? What's the process? Let's do it. Give me, you know, what you don't like. I'll do that. So it's really cool. People call me all kinds of different things.
Well, which is why finding the right name is so important.
She does that for me personally and for business. Because I drive
sure
her crazy.
Does.
I'm a spinning all the time.
Yeah, you're a balloon releaser.
Yes.
She's a balloon holder and catcher. One of the things that, Kelly, that you had shared with me, we were talking about my price points, and I'm only 2.5 years into the business and have been growing fairly rapidly. But she just looked me straight in the eye and she's like, you're not charging enough. And I had this lump in my throat knowing that she's right, but also like, how do I go about making that shift? Right, without doing damage with the folks who are already my clients. And that was part of the conversation. It was maybe a 7-minute conversation and an otherwise hour and a half conversation, but just that time alone, because again, I have similar skill sets. Had I been talking to one of you as business owners, I would have said the same thing and would have gotten to be that balloon holder for you. But as a business owner, we don't see it and we get in our own way. So that alone is huge. And coming 2020, my prices are going to double. We talked about that. And I've figured out a way to grandfather in my existing clients so that there's time for them to know and understand that this is why we're increasing and give them time to prepare for that without just, you know, hitting them between the eyes. So again, I had not intended for this to be a whole, you know, Karen testimonial on your behalf. But
I love it. Thank you. It's just
naturally pouring out of me because literally that's who you are to business owners and nonprofits. So as we round out our segment, let's speak specifically who is the right person that you're available to work with? Who is that person? You know that you're good for KLM and consulting if...
Two things. One is they already have a job or a business, but really want to start this other thing, have no time for it. I can literally start the business, brand the business, market the business, and give it back to you. And here's your, as I did for LED lighting, Josh was doing, is still doing commercial electrical
and
swamped.
And fire, yeah, which is full time.
Right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have time to switch his whole branding to, hey, he's been doing lighting forever, right? But let's make it a separate thing. Let's make it an arm of your business. He would never have had time to do that. So give me that. So that's a perfect client is somebody who has another business or wants a different piece of their business to expand but doesn't have the time. Or somebody who's really, really busy and blowing up their business very quickly and just needs a right-hand man. I've been there. I've done that. I've started business, grown businesses, you know, sold businesses. So I know that you need a right-hand man, and it can be for a very short period of time, or a lot of my clients, it's at least a year. You know, some of my clients, they only need me for 2 months to put on a fun event like we're going to do soon. But some of my clients end up saying, okay, what else can I have Kelly help me with?
Yeah. So again, it's not cookie cutter. It's very customized, and a lot of different entry points for business owners to be a good fit with you.
I have to brag about one thing. There's so many things to brag about her. But the one thing is when you are busy in that position and you tell her, you brain dump her, you give her all these ideas or where you're going, when you say, here's a list of what I want to do, you don't even have to check back to see if it's done, because you're getting the results. Like, cards are showing up at my desk and Facebook sites are being developed and LinkedIn, and everything's just getting done. It's, you don't even have to check in. It's being done, which is great.
Well, that's the project manager in you. And not everybody has that skill set. Yeah. Oh, yay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we are at the top of the hour. Went fast, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. So fast.
Already. So Leah, if you would end up the segment with us, tell us where we can get a hold of Musicology and what is the best way for a parent, like how do you get started?
All right. So you can check us out on our website, www.musicologyaz.com. If you're a new parent or a new mom, a new dad or a caregiver that has a little one that you want to get in, if you want to get out of the house, you can fill out a contact form. Our fall session just started this week. So we prorate all of our sessions, so it's okay to join at any time. If you want to check out some of the stuff that we do, we have an Instagram, Musicology Kids AZ, and also our Facebook page at AZ Musicology in Scottsdale and Musicology in Chandler. Two separate Facebook pages, so you can kind of peep in on what we do and see the cute little kiddos and all the benefits that we like to broadcast.
Love it. And for our educators who are listening and may want to connect with you guys with regard to, you know, the train the trainer kind of deal.
Oh, yeah.
Same, contact us and be specific about what you're looking for.
That one I would send directly to Mary Goodman, and the email is mm@musicologyaz.com.
Monkey.
Or
Mary.
Yeah, Mary Missy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And that email address one more time for educators.
mm@musicologyaz.com.
Great. Leah, thank you for
Thank you
being
very
here.
Much for
it's
having me. This was
you.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Jason Malcolm, Senior Vice President for Cressa. How do we get a hold of you and your company?
Oh, well, website would be great. Cressa.com, cell phone or email.
Very good. And we'll make sure we have that on our podcast for those of us who are listening. Can we give your work email out as well?
Yes.
J Malcolm, M as in Mary, or Malcolm, or monkey, JMALCOLM, another M for monkey at the end, at Cressa, CRESA.com.
Perfect.
Very good. Thank you for being here. So great to get to know you. And I know we have a couple conversations coming up around, me growing to multiple locations as a tenant, and maybe even what Mike's looking for.
Perfect.
For a shop. So
I'm here to help.
Excellent. I appreciate it. And let's have Josh Lorenzen tell us about LED lighting and consulting. Where can we find you?
So thanks to my wife and KLM, I am all over social media now, which I never thought I would be. And email josh.lorenzen@yahoo.com. And I have a LinkedIn, Facebook, and website, ledlightingandconsulting.com.
Yeah, very easy. ledlightingandconsulting.com.
Very direct.
Very good. Yeah, that's what we need to do when we're marketing. Right, Kelly?
Right.
And Kelly, CEO of KLM Consulting, how do we find you?
You can email me, klmconsultingaz@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thanks again, guys. This was a great morning. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism, Arizona, Phoenix Business Radio X Studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki. Thanks for listening.